Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and today we have a great show. We got a great studio full almost. So later in the show, we're going to be talking to Angie Reese with Accurate Protection and Raven Sampson with The Smart Data. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Mary Blackman. She's a veteran back in the studio. We're catching back up with her with Farmstar Living. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm so happy to be invited
I'm
back.
So happy to have you back here. I want to know, you were doing great work before. I want to know what's been going on. What's Farmstar Living? Again, to tell our listeners again, but let us know what's been going on with you.
Well, I'd love to, and thank you so much. You know, several years ago, I took over my family farm. It was something that I really never thought I would be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I left my, you know, former career in life and in California in media to take over my farm. And while doing so, not only was I completely over my head, but I actually had the privilege to work with so many great people who mentored me and started training me and educating me on how to actually operate and run a farm. And during this process, it just really reconnected me back to my roots, my heritage, and the people who have been, you know, devoted to this kind of life. And I became so inspired. And I felt that these farmers are people who really need to be recognized and acknowledged. So I started calling them my farm stars. And over time, I just decided that I needed to launch a business so that other people could connect to farmers in their own regions, understand what farmers do, who they are really as people, and actually join in that kind of lifestyle and support it. So it actually evolved this year into a website called Farmstar Living.
Love it.
Thank you. So it's a way that everyone, whether they've been to a farm or not, can actually participate in this way of life, can get to know the people who are behind their food, can learn about what's happening in cities with agriculture, because our whole landscape really is changing and evolving because of farming, the new technologies, and also with our increased interest in who is behind our food.
Definitely. People are a lot more educated now. They want to know where the food's coming from. They don't want the processed. They want the organic kind of foods, and they want to know. I know there's a huge farm-to-table movement here in Atlanta.
There actually is, and I love that. I think farm-to-table restaurants, they've been increasing over the years, and I think now we're at a consciousness as a society to want to know what is behind our food, who is behind our food, and these restaurants are just the best way to know that you're getting really good food from your local farmers typically, and that these restaurants, when you're going to them, are actually supporting your community. Because they're using the food that's grown right there. You know it's going to be fresh. You know that when you're going to a farm to table, you're actually supporting the people that are your neighbors that you don't even know.
Definitely.
So it's a very big part of our website. At Farmstar Living, we've actually incorporated farm-to-table restaurants all over the USA.
Wow.
So, yes, we're very excited about that. So we have major cities. So when you're going to travel to other places, you can find out the hot farm-to-table restaurants in that town. So you can support their communities and their farmers. And we also have an app coming out later in November on the farm-to-table restaurants across the country, too.
Well, talk more a little more about the app, what's going to be involved in it, who's it targeted towards? Is it just towards the user, learning about the farmer, or does it connect the farmers also?
Well, actually, the app is very similar to the website. At farmstarliving.com, we've aggregated the restaurants farm-to-table, but we've also looked at touch points for consumers. So basically, just for the every person, someone who might be interested in taking their family out to a vacation, to a road trip. So the app is going to include farm vacations, and we call it Farm Fun. And what I mean by farm vacations basically is that a family can go out to a hayride. On our website, you can search by activities if you're looking for a corn maze or a petting zoo, even things like a bed and breakfast.
Okay.
So you can find great farms that are open for either a road trip or an overnight destination. So the app also will include not only the farm-to-table restaurants, but the farm fun locations across the USA. And these are all the farms that are open to the public.
Okay. Are you also doing something? I know with all the millennials out there that can't find jobs, a lot of them are turning to actual farms to go stay on farms, work on them, sort of just learn that kind of culture, and they work there, and they get to live for free and eat that. Are you guys incorporating any of that? I know that's something going on.
Well, that's something that people can also find. Under Farm Fun, you can find places that have workshops, that have certain, you know, things that you can participate in. You can stay overnight. But we also have articles. So, in fact, one of our articles that's coming up is about places that you can go and have an internship with, become an apprentice. So we'll have a lot of that information on the website, too.
All right. Well, I think that's great for the young kids out there. It helps them grow up a lot and teaches them hard work and how to work for something. You get to see the fruits of your labor, too, which is awesome.
It's so true. And, you know, there is a very large movement that's called Farm to School.
Okay.
And that's actually educating younger children in schools about how you grow things and what is fresh, what is good. And the more that children are invested in this process, the more that they are, you know, become aware of
that the pink sludge at the school isn't good for you.
Exactly. So, so all these schools are, you know, participating in this. They have learning gardens. They have giving gardens. And sometimes they actually bring that food into their cafeterias.
Wow.
And that's what they eat. So October, as a matter of fact, was Farm to School Month. So we have currently for now, and it'll soon go into archives as of November 1. But no, it's all available, all the farm-to-school initiatives that are happening across the country. And right here in Atlanta, there's a great foundation that we are working with closely, and that's Captain Planet.
Okay.
So they do a lot. In fact, I just joined them at an event in California because they do things everywhere where they help children become more aware of the environment, of the food, the process. And this is an education process that happens, you know, at an early age on. And that's the best way to keep people healthy.
Definitely.
And connected to, you know, the food and who's growing it.
That's an easy way to, I know childhood obesity is a big problem right now. People are talking about it. And this is a huge way. If you teach kids how to eat healthy early on and they eat the proper things for their body, they're not going to get fat. Their body's going to use all that material and it's going to be, they're going to be a lot healthier.
Exactly. You can ask a child, where does this food come from? They'll say the grocery store.
McDonald's.
So it's a great way to keep them educated and empowered to even know more about food at a young age. So.
Well, definitely. And also on your website, you guys have information for maybe people that have a small plot of land in the city that want to just try to grow their own small gardens, right?
Absolutely. One thing about this lifestyle is that you don't have to have a farm to participate in it. And that's a thing that I realized as I was doing my research and doing some kind of focus group studies, people would say, you know, I never thought that I could be a part of farming because I don't have a farm. I don't have 10 acres. But the thing is, today, you don't really have to. You can find all these great new things that you can incorporate into your house, whether it's an apartment or a condo. As an example, there are these towers that you can have in the corner of your apartment that can grow lettuce.
Towers?
Seriously. Okay. Well, they're like 3.5 feet tall.
That's still huge.
Yeah, but it's really slim, and it's new technology. There's also these grow tents that you can have in your garage with a light, and you can have your own food and herbs growing right there. And then there's, of course, things like you know, backyard farming.
Definitely.
So, you know, people are getting chickens these days.
Well, I hear about people growing stuff in those storage containers that they ship on ships and stuff. They have just grow lamps in there, and they're growing green algae for energy. There's a lot of cool new farming stuff going on.
I love that. And, you know, speaking of energy, I love how cities are using more and more renewable energy to bring agriculture into their cityscapes. You know, I was talking to people recently. They are even using hospital rooftops to grow food, vegetables.
For the hospital?
Yeah.
That is really cool.
It's so neat. That's happening right now in the Northeast. But there are things, like you just mentioned, growing in containers.
Mm-hmm.
That's called, you know, pod farming.
Yeah.
So there's a great company in Atlanta that's doing that called Podponics.
Mm-hmm.
So I love how renewable energy is really changing and becoming more accessible to us all so that we all can become a part of this movement, which is farming and actually producing your own food.
So how have the farmers received FarmStar Living? Are they loving it? They're like, wow, I finally have a platform where I can sort of tell my story and talk to people and connect with other farmers?
You know, it really makes me happy, and thank you for asking that. When I talk to farmers, I get a lot of God bless yous. But the thing is, one of the reasons why I really wanted to do this was to debunk the stereotype of farming and who farmers are.
You definitely do that just yourself. So.
Oh, thank you so much. And that's the thing, though. Farmers really are, you know, from all walks of life, all nationalities. You know, there are so many more females getting involved in farming today. And it's not just the same old stereotype we might have had from three generations before. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, as you mentioned before, young people are getting involved. They're interested in learning about farming, participating when they can through crop mobs, through, you know, workshops, through these farm tours. So today's farmer is a lot different than we might have understood one to be.
Definitely. So tell me what the overall goal is, the perfect goal for FarmStar Living. If you could have it just be perfect 10 years down the road, what's it doing? How's it helping people?
Well, it continues to connect people to food and to the processes behind creating and making this food, as well as the farmers who are dedicated and passionate about doing the best job that they can. I want to be a resource that people can use as a touch point for their lives. So everything they do, from vacations to dining out to their shopping to getting involved in their community, everything that we present is through the farming lens. So it's almost like 6 degrees of farming through everything we do. So the average person can be a part of farming, whether or not they actually own a farm. They at least can support farming, food, and feel more enlightened by this whole process, and thus make better choices and decisions for a better quality of life.
So have you guys thought about this, possibly having a logo or something to put on restaurants, and also if someone has their app and they're searching through Google for a restaurant, they pop it up on Yelp or whatever, has a review, and it has a little FarmStar logo right there that says, okay, I know that this is supporting my local farm, so I want to go to that restaurant.
You know, I would love for you to help me do that. Would you mind helping me?
Not at all. I'd love to help out. I love this move, and I think what you're doing is absolutely fabulous, and people need to be more educated. We live in a society of technology right now where people, if it doesn't capture me in 5-7 seconds, but everyone, I think, would say, hey, you know what? I would like to support local farms. I'd like to eat healthier. And if I could do that just by searching for a restaurant, I saw a little, oh, there's FarmStar Living right there. Okay, I'm going to go right there. So I would love to help out with that.
Oh, gosh. Come on aboard. I could use your help. So thank you so much. I love what I'm doing. It means so much to me. As you know, I'm a third-generation farmer. So this whole new business I've launched really connects me to everybody who came before me, to people who I have a lot of respect and admiration for, especially with their passion and their ethics and their, you know, desire to work so hard and tirelessly, usually without any recognition at all. Mm-hmm. So it's a real privilege for me to be a part of this community.
All right. So what do you need more of? Do you need more people visiting the site? Do you need more farmers?
Well, I actually would love for people to come and visit the site, to sign up for our Twitter feed, which is FarmStar Living, our Facebook, facebook.com/FarmStarLiving, and the website itself, which is farmstarliving.com. Just become a part of the site. Tell your friends, because we're all trying to do great things here for each other.
All right. Just a quick recap for our listeners. Just explain the site very smallly, what they can use it for and why they should go there again.
Okay. Farmstarliving.com is the first lifestyle website celebrating our farmers, who we call USA Farm Stars, the world of farming, farm to table, and even farm vacations. It's a free website so that you can be connected to the food and who grows the food in a very fun, entertaining way.
Mm-hmm. And farm vacations, they're not as expensive as going to some other state. You can go there. It's really romantic. It can be fun for the kids. Like you said, corn mazes. So definitely check that out. It's a huge part. And if you want to surprise your kids or surprise your wife or your significant other, it's a great way to do that.
And we call it farm fun.
Farm fun. I love that alliteration right there. Well,
thank
Mary,
you.
Thank you so much for coming on. We
thank
love
you.
Having you in the studio, and
thank
we'd love
you,
to have
Kevin.
You back.
I really appreciate it. It's always great to be here.
All right. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Angie Reese with Accurate Protection. Welcome to the show, Angie. You were sitting there patiently nodding your head, taking notes. I absolutely love that. So, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, tell me a little bit about Accurate Protection.
Accurate Protection, we are an independent property and casualty insurance agency. We broker for many different carriers. We specialize in working with small and medium-sized business owners, and we actually branched out into personal lines as well, just based on the business owners asking us for that.
Okay, well, go into that a little bit. We're a small business here at Business Radio X, and just tell us how you protect the small businesses and what you offer that other insurance companies don't.
You know, we really come at insurance from more of a consulting standpoint. One thing that small business owners don't have that larger businesses have access to is a risk manager on staff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at a business and they have a loss that's not covered, if you look at a company that's, say, the size of Coca-Cola and it's a $1 million loss, they will weather it. They will be fine.
Yeah.
If you look at a small business owner, it's going to put them out of business.
Definitely.
And I'm just simply surprised every time I go to meet a business owner that they really don't understand what's in their policy. And I'm surprised that how they're written, how they're put together.
Well, it's just because there's salespeople out there and they're selling. So if we had your service, we went with you guys, we could actually call you up before we did something and be like, hey, is this covered or what do I need if I go into this kind of situation?
Yeah, I will say, though, before I write a policy, I really get to know the business and the business owner and what their goals are to structure things. So business owners know as they're going on if there's going to be a loss, if it's covered or not covered. So we do a lot of the legwork up front. But, yeah, I'm always there. If they have a question or have a concern, pick up the phone.
All right. Well, tell me, what are some of the risks that companies run into, smaller companies, that they don't really realize that you notice all the time, that they don't really notice the risk out there?
You know, one thing is injuries with employees. Workers' compensation is a commodity. Everybody is getting the same coverage no matter what they're paying for it. So
okay.
I really work with my clients that they don't pay a dime more than they have to. So I work with them on pre-hiring procedures so that they're not hiring employees who have a propensity to file a work comp claim.
Mm-hmm.
I work with them on claims prevention from a safety standpoint. And then I also work with them on claims management, and a big part of claims management is simply employee communication.
All right, so walk me through an engagement. Business Radio X, we need a new insurance policy for the whole company, for employees and everything, and we come to you. How do you navigate that?
You know, it basically just starts with a conversation, finding out what your experience has been like so far with the agency you're with the agent that you have. A big part of it is also what your goals are for the company, where you see yourself going. Do you see yourself growing, moving, maybe going international? Because it allows me to know how to structure your policy and what carrier to work with. You know, insurance really is a puzzle. It's getting to know a company, it's getting to know a business owner, and it's learning how to put a program together.
All right. So in our case, we're moving out to different states. We're licensing, giving.
Mm-hmm.
We have licensed people that go do what we're doing in hyper-local markets and talk to different small businesses, get the word out. What kind of insurance do we need for that? Is because we're just licensing out our services and our brand, but does that make us responsible for what they're doing out there in North Carolina?
Oh, definitely. And when you're going into multiple states, we're definitely going to look at a national carrier instead of a local carrier.
Okay.
So if you all of a sudden call me and say, you know, I'm going into New York, it's not a problem. We're already prepared for that. But there are a lot of items that can present themselves when you're on the air, when you're dealing with intellectual property. So there's a lot to that.
Okay. So how did you decide to get into this business? Well, I just want to know the story behind it.
You know, I really fell into insurance completely by accident. I don't think anybody grows up and says, wow, I want to be an insurance agent when I grow up. I've been in it for 10 years, and it's a perfect fit for me. I love learning, and there is no limit to what you can learn about insurance, and I love putting puzzles together. I left about 2.5 years ago, opened up my own agency, never looked back, and it's been a blast.
All right. Well, what's your ideal client for you, and how can we help you reach them?
You know, an ideal client for me really is a business owner who understands the insurance and the first step to financial planning, and without having a good program together,
mm-hmm.
he could lose his business or his financials.
Well, definitely.
Overnight. So I look for a business owner who wants to build a relationship, wants to have a long-term relationship, and doesn't just shop their program and look for the best price. Unfortunately, it's challenging to get some business owners to understand that chasing the best price and shopping their program year after year can actually increase
their
rates over time. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So what kind of injuries do you normally see, and what are companies liable for? Like, I'm here in the studio. If I electrocute myself plugging something in, is Business Radio X liable? I need to know this. So insurance is getting crazy right now.
Oh, boy.
You know, if you're at work and you injure yourself, yeah, your employer's going to cover it. You know, people even think salespeople are not going to have an injury, but mm-hmm. when you're driving in your car, there's a great chance of having an auto accident.
Just driving from client to client?
Oh, yeah. And if you get to the hospital and they ask what happened and they find out it's work-related, a health insurance policy, unless you have 24-hour coverage, excludes a work-related injury. So when I see these small business owners that just have one or two people on staff, especially salespeople that are driving, they're not required by law until they have three people in a business, including the owner, to carry work comp. But I do counsel them. If that employee is injured, you are still responsible to pay that, even if you don't have coverage.
Even if you
in
don't
place.
Have coverage for it, and they mm-hmm. have their own coverage. Wow, that seems like a debacle right there.
It's a lawsuit.
So, how are you navigating? I know there's all these healthcare changes going on, and you're navigating that. How are you navigating your small businesses around there, your clients?
You know, fortunately, I completely stay out of healthcare. I handle all lines that exclude
awesome.
Healthcare. But one thing that it impacts is workers' compensation.
Mm-hmm. That's what
if you have an employee that does not have health coverage, or maybe has a high deductible plan and they're injured on the soccer field on Saturday, it's really easy to come in Monday morning and at about 11 o'clock complain about a back injury.
Wow.
So I really work with employers. There's a lot we can do to prevent items like that from happening, and it's working.
Do you see that a lot where employees try to take advantage of their company's workers' comp and all that?
We do, and specifically with the economy right now, what we're seeing is employees who have left and they either got a job elsewhere and lost that job and their unemployment ran out, or they were fired and can't get unemployment. All of a sudden, they have an injury from an employer a year, year and a half ago.
How do you deal with that? And do those people actually win? Does that actually work?
They do typically get paid out simply because so much time has elapsed that it's impossible to investigate. But there are some procedures that we can deal with in advance to prevent that.
All right. So you started your own company. How was that going out on your own? And just was that scary being an entrepreneur? Were you like, I'm tired of working for the man and I want to do my own thing? Or?
Oh, it was terrifying. I think a lot of business owners, if they really thought about it and knew what was going to be happening down the road, they may or may not do it. You know, there's been a lot of sleepless nights. And what's really challenging is I look at my husband, bless his heart, he comes home every night and he's done for the evening. On the weekend, he relaxes. And I'm still thinking about business and returning an email.
24/7.
It never shuts off.
So it's one of those things that you have to be like, you have to be young enough to be like, I can go out and do this. And then later you're like, wow, man, if I had known more, I probably wouldn't have done this. I love that. So are you guys just here in Atlanta, or are you moving out to other states, or what's the growth plan of the company?
We did start in Atlanta. We're now also in Alabama and South Carolina and growing from there. By the same time next year, we should be in about 15 states. So.
Wow. Well, yeah. I want you to talk about that a little bit, because that interests me. How do you do that kind of growth, and how do you manage that? It's got to be a lot of logistics.
You know, it's really forming connections that will bring you into a clientele.
Okay.
CPAs are fabulous. Commercial bankers are fabulous.
Giving your shout outs.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So what's next for you guys? What's the next step in this process?
I know. You know, I haven't announced it because it's not formal, but I'm actually taking on a business partner.
Oh.
So that's going to spur on some growth. It should be done January 1 for sure.
All right. And what are you looking more for? Do you want more clients, more connections? What do you need with your business?
You know, a little of both. I really do like the connections and the gate openers because, as you know, when a company refers you in, there's an immediate level of trust
mm-hmm.
and comfort.
Definitely.
And so it's easier to get to know somebody in a very short time frame, which is what I need to do. But I'm always looking for clients. If there's a business owner out there who's challenged with maybe learning how to manage his fleet of vehicles, having problems with employee turnover, employee claims, maybe he just simply thinks he's paying too much for insurance.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably a simple phone call, and you actually want to get to know his business, and you'll actually have a real conversation with him. He'll have a real conversation with somebody, right?
Yeah, I always like sitting down face-to-face.
Okay. Well, how do our listeners reach out, contact you, and get that conversation?
You know, they can always look us up on our website, which is www.accurateprotection.com, or they can pick up the phone, which is 404-907-2121. Or they can email me at Angie@accprotect.com.
You're very brave. You gave out all the contact information. I love that.
Yeah.
So. All right, Angie. Well, thank you for being on. Great information. We loved having you here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Last but definitely not least, we have Raven Sampson. What a name right there. with the Smart Data. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, tell me a little about this. I looked a little bit in the bio, and this sounds like really cool stuff that you guys are doing.
Yes. What we're doing is, we're making education fun. So currently, everybody has this problem. They have kids who come home from school and they jump on Xbox and they PlayStation, the Wii. They jump on all these gaming consoles And parents, it's a fight for parents to get them off. So what we've done is we have taken and created a device that attaches to any of the gaming consoles, and it turns all of the games that they're currently playing into an educational game.
Really? That is absolutely amazing. I was one of those kids that just jumped on when the video games came out. I jumped on that. I was like, school's boring. Why is this? Why is calculus important? All that kind of stuff. So what you guys are doing, you're integrating. Instead of making the kids have to learn something else or play a different kind of game, you're saying, hey, we're going to incorporate this into your daily habits. I love that.
Yes. So we're using the games that they're going to play regardless. They love these games. So we're just adding education as a feature to them. And we're making it easy for parents, teachers, and kids. So just imagine a teacher sits there and they creates their test that they're getting ready to give the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they send home this study guide. Well, imagine if they were able to integrate that into the Xbox. So for the rest of the weekend, while kids are playing their normal habits Xbox, they're actually having to answer questions from the study guides that the teacher just gave them.
How are you guys doing this? What kind of technology? The technology must be like this new kind of technology. I think this sounds like the future. This sounds like Star Trek-esque kind of technology.
It is brand new technology. Okay, nothing like this is currently on the market. What we're using is basically we're utilizing their downtime. So we don't interrupt the kids because, to be truthful, if we start breaking into the games that the kids are playing, they're going to have a problem with it.
Definitely. You're going to mess with their scores or their ratios or any of that.
So I'm not affecting any of that. They can still, like Call of Duty, they can still run around, shoot all their friends. It won't affect any of that. However, these games have downtimes.
Yeah, they do.
They have, you know, when you first put the CDs in, every 30 minutes or every 15 minutes, a new screen loads up.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of down and lax time.
Yeah.
We're utilizing the time that the kids are just sitting here waiting for their next game. We're utilizing that to ask them educational questions.
That is genius. So you're not interrupting their games. So you're not going to affect them. You're using time that they're wasting anyways with their lives, and they're bored. So to use that to educate them.
Correct. Now, what it will do, however, is there is consequences for incorrect answers. So currently, if you're playing a game, and when the map loads, you have to select your team or whatever you want to do. So if you're asked a series of questions and you get them all wrong, well, your parents get complete control over what happens.
Oh, man.
I mean, because you have kids who are just going to sit here and hit buttons.
Yeah, definitely.
So what happens is if a parent steps in and says, you know what, if you're just going to hit buttons, then you're not even trying. So I want the screen locked for the whole next map cycle.
Wow. And you leave that up to the parents, too. So you're not the bad guy. You're not setting these timetables. You're like, hey, parents, you have full control. And that means then the kid gets upset, too. It's not going to be back on you. It'll be on the parents, too.
Absolutely. I mean, the parents have complete control. Parents get a progress report to find out how their kids are doing on the game, what subjects the kids are answering, what kind of grades the kids are getting, how many questions are answered correctly, what's answered incorrectly, the type of problems that they're having trouble with. Let's say it's an English subject, and it does ask all subjects.
Okay.
So parents can even go in and customize it to say, you know what, my kid got all the English right. I know he or she is good in English, so take English out. And it can customize it to specific subjects.
All right, so have you guys run into any troubles? I know there's a lot of teachers out there that unfortunately are like, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I don't want to do this extra work. How do you make it so it's easy for them to implement their test questions into your guys' programs?
We're still working on that section.
Okay.
Because the school system is actually a hard system to get into.
It definitely is.
I don't want to add extra work to teachers, but at the same sense, I'm trying to make it easy for the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, it asks a series of questions that they would actually have to select. So they just log onto a website, click the button of the questions that they want to ask. They could even send homework home. So that night when the child goes home, instead of having to stop what they're doing, go find a book and answer questions in a book and write them down.
Mm-hmm.
They can answer the questions, their homework questions, as they're playing the game, and it wraps it up and sends an email back to the teacher.
That's perfect right there. So here's my free advice for the show. If you made it so, I know all teachers use these different programs to make their tests, right? if you guys had an application that filtered right into what you guys are doing that also gave them a printed out test, so they're doing the same amount of work in the same time, then it also would go aggregated right into your program as well. So,
and that's what we're looking at doing. We're currently trying to partner with an educational company, like a Tutoring, a Silva, mm-hmm. or a
Leapfrog or something.
Some kind of educational company that already has all of their educational information. By doing that, the game system is what needs to utilize it. So at that point, what we're looking at doing is going into the State Board of Education and actually offering to give it to them. So if we, because currently the school system pays for software that they use.
Okay.
So if we're pretty much almost giving it to them to utilize to help the kids, because we already have the software and we're going to need it anyway for the company that we're currently doing.
Definitely. So does this work with all gaming consoles? Does it work with iPads, iPhones, those kind of games too? Because I know a lot of kids are just focused on those as well.
Currently, it works with gaming consoles, which is Xbox, PlayStation, Wii, Nintendo, all the current latest gaming consoles. It actually also works with legacy consoles, which is the previous games. So you have Xbox One, Xbox 360.
PlayStation 2, all those.
Yes. It also will work with the gaming consoles that are currently getting ready to come out.
So the PlayStation 4, the new Xbox, Xbox One, all that. So
I do know it works with the PlayStation 4, and it will work with the Xbox One. We're after this phase is done, our next phase is actually a phone phase.
Okay.
We're going to use the exact same back-end system, and we're going to implement it to phones. Now, what it won't do, it will not affect incoming calls, because I'm pretty sure...
Yeah, people would not play with that. So
they're not going to want to say, hold on, let me answer this educational question before I get my call. So it won't affect incoming calls. It will affect anything else. It'll affect outgoing calls, which they want to call their friends. It'll affect texts if they want to text their friends. It will affect their games, if they're playing Candy Crush or something.
Yeah.
There are certain numbers that will be defaulted not to affect.
Yeah.
Like because a parent will buy it for the kids, and if a parent says, you know what? If you want to call me, then you just dial the number. So if they're dialing their parents' number, it won't affect that.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll give a lot of limitations to what they're doing with their phone as well.
Well, I love what you guys are doing, because you're adding all these features, but at the same time you're saying, you know what, it's completely customizable for the parent. So we're not going to say, here's the features that you have to be locked into. It's like, hey, this is what it can do. However you want to use it to your parenting style, go for it. So that is absolutely genius. How did you have this idea? What sparked this to create this company and make this happen? This is definitely a forward-thinking idea.
A two-part. One, I have kids. I mean, and they're on the game. They play all the time. And the second one was I was a gamer growing up myself.
Yeah.
So I know how much time is wasted with games. So I put the two together and said, you know, let me try to make the best of both worlds.
Definitely. So what has been the hardest part for you? Has it been hard getting in front of the schools, talking to like PlayStation and Xbox and dealing with them, or just any of that process? What's been the hardest people to get in front of?
The hardest thing to do currently, I would say, is we're currently trying to hit this as an aggressive marketing. We want everyone to know about it. We want anybody who has an Xbox to at least know of the product. Well, to do that, you need a lot of funding.
Yeah.
So the hardest section that I will say I've come across is to pique interest of investors.
I guess maybe that's because the investors are maybe of an older generation, maybe not gamers. But I can't imagine if you got in front of somebody, you had a conversation with them, that they wouldn't just be like, okay, yeah, my kids play video games all the time. Yeah, they're struggling at school. And this helps that problem, because right now there are security features where you can lock down someone's console as a parent, but no parent knows how to plug them in, and no parent knows how to get the kid off of it. A lot of parents say, you know what, well, you can't do it until after you finish your homework, and then they're complaining that they're not popular because they can't play with their friends and play Call of Duty, and they're getting made fun of, and there's a lot of stuff that parents just don't understand, really. All this new technology, it's constantly coming out. So you guys are way ahead of the curve. That's awesome.
Another feature that we're adding is we're trying to promote the kids to want to play this or to want to utilize this. So we're also trying to partner with major companies for a marketing campaign to where they sponsor a certain aspect of these questions, especially for age groups. For example, if you have a 16, 17, or 18-year-old and they're playing the game, Well, what we're looking at doing is sponsoring with someone like a car dealership or something, to where at their length of time, if they've answered X amount of 5,000 questions right and they hold a B average, then why not have a big car giveaway as a promotion or a scholarship? So we're trying to promote the kids to say, you know what, let me do this. That way the kids can compete against other kids and try to push for a better score.
Okay, that's great. All right, here's the big question. I was a kid. I was always trying to get around stuff, doing the wrong thing without getting caught. How do you prevent the kids from learning the system, getting in there and messing with it and making it so they don't have to do the questions or messing around and getting around it?
Okay, good question. So what happens is when they first set it up, there's a number pad at the top. And when the parents go in, they put in their code, and that gives complete access to the administrative panel. Without that code, then the kids can't have access to the administrative panel. So they can't change the settings. They can't take off the questions. They can't take off the consequences, any of it. Now, if as a parent, if you feel your child's responsible enough and you give them the code, then it, you know.
Yeah, well, then there's nothing you can do about that.
Correct.
So this seems like it would work for all ages. This could go through college. Is there any kind of remote system where the parents can keep doing this and monitor their kids from college? I know a lot of parents are thinking that right now. So,
so what it does is this is an attachment that attaches to the console games, but you have a website that you would log into to get reports. And it prints you off. It even emails you reports on how your child's doing, if your child's still using it. So you get everything on the back end without actually having to have the box in front of you as a parent.
All right. So you know about websites like Khan Academy and stuff, and they've become really popular. A lot of parents are letting they're like, well, the education system's sort of failing my kid. I'm going to go to use Khan Academy to teach them other stuff, and they do a pretty good job. Is there a way for like the parents to sort of turn this into maybe even prep classes, start giving them stuff that's from a grade ahead, and using it just to slowly educate their kid in new fields?
Absolutely. It's based off of a grade level. So if you have a, let's say, a fifth grader, and when the summer hits, you want them to go ahead and start looking at sixth grade material, then without having to repurchase the box, you just buy a sixth grade CD, and you integrate the CD into the device, and it changes it from a fifth grade device to a sixth grade device.
That's huge.
So, and a huge benefit is during the school system, during the summer, kids lose a couple months of education.
Definitely.
So you're still integrating that education, and you're even taking a step further, and you're even asking them the next grade level.
That's huge. Have you guys thought about SAT prep? I know I played a lot of video games when I should have been studying for the SATs, so that would probably help me out hugely.
Yes, it does have – I mean, it goes with every grade level, and then once you hit 12th, we take it to the next level, and we do PSAT, SAT, and ACT.
Okay. So what's the next phase of this for you? Where are you guys headed next with it? Are you going to stop with this technology once you do it to all consoles? Or are you going to try to jump to the next forward-thinking kind of educational thing? Or are you just really tunnel vision right now? This is what I'm doing. We're going to make this happen.
Currently, we're focused on this project. We want this to be extremely big, and we want everyone to at least know about it. You know, we want it in everyone's home that has a gaming console. However, we are still looking at the next technology, because as soon as this is done, we are going to gear ourselves more towards iPhones, apps. After that, the way that we set the device, because we wanted to design it to where I can take it anywhere we want to go with it and not have to redesign.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we've designed it, it would actually even work with kids who do nothing but watch cable and watch Blu-ray DVDs. It will even monitor the TV. The product is so scalable, it's unbelievable. But we are currently focused on the gaming industry.
Well, again, I keep saying it, but the genius thing that I think you guys did and the most sellable part is it's completely customizable to the parent. You're not going in there and saying, hey, you're a bad parent, this is how you should parent. You go, hey, however you want to parent, here are the tools that we have provided you with. How's the learning curve for the parent? Is it going to be tough for the parent to learn how to do this, or is it very easy?
It's very easy. It's almost just a click of buttons.
Okay.
They put in their name. They're going to put in the child's grade level. They have options for other attachments. They can put in their personal email. They can select to have the kid's grades sent to their email. They can put in their teacher's email. They can have some of the grades and the questions sent directly to the teacher. So, I mean, it's literally just it's very simple for the parents.
Have you guys gone? I know there's a lot of charter schools out there and a lot of private schools that would – even probably want to offer this to their kids. Have you talked to any of them about that so that it's part of the tuition for the kids, so it's a packageable thing and the parents get that? But it would be a huge selling point for a school being like, hey, we're teaching your kids 24/7, and we've made a way, we've integrated it with what they like to do. So it makes your life easy. They're going to play the video games whether you want them to or not, and it really is a pain point for parents. They don't know how to deal with video games because they're so new and they're always ever-changing, and there's that fine line, that technology that they don't understand.
We haven't currently went into the charter schools. We're still finishing up a couple things with the marketing section of mm-hmm. it. And as soon as we finish the marketing section, then that's a great idea. Definitely. At that point, we're looking at the charter schools and the school systems and targeting doing an aggressive campaign towards the schools.
Well, I think what you guys are doing is absolutely great. Anything we can do to help you guys out, get the word out, help you guys push that out to people, meet people, we'd love to do that.
So for just, parents and teachers and anybody who wants to learn more and to help us out, you can log onto our website. It's thesmartdata.com. And at the bottom of our website, we have Facebook links, and we would love for you to like us on Facebook. And currently, we are still aggressively seeking investors.
Mm-hmm.
So if an investor logs on, and you can go to the contact and just shoot us the contact information, and we will immediately get back with you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on. Last question. Is this like a third-party device that you can just have in your house, like Bluetooth, or is it just a program that goes on each one of these systems? Or
okay. So I can't go into the Xbox.
Okay. That's fine.
There's nothing I can do about that. It is a third-party device that does connect through Bluetooth.
Okay, so it's just making everyone's life easier. You guys, you really seem like you're cracking the code on a lot of cool stuff. All right, well, give me that website one more time so our listeners can reach out.
The website is thesmartdata.com.
All right, well, thank you to all our guests today. It was fabulous having you guys on. A lot of great information. And all right, this is Kevin Finn for all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Atlanta Business Radio.